Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, October 10th, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, Bet Chodesh Cheshvan. This is the women's Mishnah Shir. The Shir's up here. Judy, they're doing the floors down there. And we're doing Masecha Sukkah, Sugi of Mitzvah Baba Vera tonight. Okay, Rabotai. One thing I can tell you, I was not overwhelmed with the responses. Only one person responded. One person responded. So what I asked last week, what type of shir should we have?
We just all sat.
And okay, that's...
What?
I was
waiting for an email.
Yeah.
No, I said send me an email. What your responses will be. So one person responded.
Continue the way we've been doing it for the last 2 years.
Okay, that's basically what the person said. Okay. That's all. Okay.
You're right. Between the principles of Gemara is wonderful.
That's what we're doing. But not Chulin, but okay. Tonight we're going to do. It'll probably take us at least 2 sessions. I can probably spend 10 on the topic today, which we'll see in just a few seconds. There are a lot of sugyot and shas that talk about this topic called mitzvah haba'a ba'avera. The fulfillment of a mitzvah which takes place at the very precise moment when you are transgressing an avera. And there are a lot of different situations, a lot of different debates, a lot of different opinions, and we will see it starting with the third perek in Masechet Sukkah, and there is another parallel sugya on Daf Tesam with Aleph and Sugya in Sukkah, which we will see as well. So all we need for tonight is the first 4 words of the Mishnah. I don't need the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah is talking about other cases. So this perek begins a discussion of the qualifications of a lulav, etrog, hadas, and arava. What types of lulavim, etrogim, hadasim, and aravot are acceptable for the mitzvah of arba minim? So the Mishnah starts off, and the same sequence of a Mishnah appears 4 times. It'll talk about etrog hagazel, hadas hagazel, arava hagzula. 4 times this Mishnah is repeated, almost verbatim. Lulav hagazul v'hayavesh pasul. A lulav that is stolen or dried out. If you have ever saved your lulav or your etrog from year to year, you will see that they are very, very dried out. So if you take a stolen lulav or a dried out lulav, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. The Mishnah says it's pasul, it's disqualified. So we are going to focus on primarily the first category of lulav hagazel, but the Gemara will introduce yavesh for just a second to get to the point that we want to understand tonight. So that's enough in the Mishnah. Now we're going to look at the Gemara. Kapasik Vitani. The Mishnah made a blanket statement pasul. The Mishnah made a blanket statement. Did it say that it's pasul only the first day of Yom Tov? No. Did it say it's pasul all 7 days of Yom Tov? No. Kapasik Vitani means the Mishnah made a blanket statement and said pasul. End of discussion. Vitani, kapasik vitani, loshna biyamtav rishon, veloshna biyamtav sheni. Makes no difference whether we are talking about the first day of Yom Tov, or we are talking about, do not translate the word Yom Tov sheni here as the second day of Yom Tov. Yom Tov sheni in the Gemara means the rest of the Yom Tov. The rest of the Yom Tov. So the Mishnah seems to disqualify a stolen or a dried out lulav on the first day or on the rest of the 6 days of Sukkot. So here we have to introduce why there are two different time frames. The mitzvah of the Torah throughout 99.99% of the world is only to take a lulav the first day of Yom Tov. Because it says, Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon. Chapter 23 of Sefer Vayikra, which next week there's going to be a test on. I told you, you have to know that perek by heart. The perek of the Moadot. And in verse 41, the Torah says, Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon. You shall take for yourself on the first day Kapot Marim, which is in Esrog, Anafei Tzavot, which is the lulav, Arvinachan, so on and so forth. Very nice. Priyat Hadar is the Esrog. So it all says first day Yom Tov. The last phrase of that pasuk reads, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivat yamim. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivat Yamim. So, ladies, translate that phrase. Translate the phrase. Come on, everybody here can translate that phrase. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Rejoice in the presence of God for 7 days. Good. Now, there are many ways to rejoice in the presence of God. Many ways. The primary way is to bring a korban. To bring a korban eat what's called a shlamim shalmei simcha. Eat a korban in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. That's a way of simcha. Where you spend time in Yerushalayim, you offer a korban. Fine. Now that phrase, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, has nothing to do with the first half of the pasuk, at least at first blush. First half of the pasuk says, Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon, pri etz hadar, kapot marim, anaf etz avot, va'arvei nacha. Just tells you to bring the arba minim. Take the arba minim. Now the last phrase says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokechem shivas yamim. So our Gemara, the Bavli, makes nothing of it, and doesn't really think that there is a link between the first phrase, Ulekachtem lachem, and the last phrase, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Doesn't make much of it. But the Yerushalmi thinks that if these two seemingly unrelated mitzvot are recorded in the same pasuk, there's got to be a connection. So the connection which the Yerushalmi says is Besimchat Halulav Hakatuv Midaber. Besimchat Halulav. What does that mean? Besimchat Halulav. With the rejoicing of the lulav is what the Torah has in mind. So Ulekachtem Lachem in Tel Aviv by Yom Rishon. Ulekachtem Lachem in Haifa by Yom Rishon. Ulekachtem lachom tinek Yom Rishon. But in the Beit HaMikdash, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, usmachtem al yidei halulav shivat yamim. That you take the lulav for 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash. This is a mitzvah mid-de-oraita. A mitzvah mid-de-oraita. To take the lulav for 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash. Fine. So now, the Gemara, so that's what the Gemara is going to say. Lo shna b'yantav rishon, v'lo shna b'yantav sheni. Yantav sheni, it's only in the Beit HaMikdash is there an obligation to take the lulav. We take it all 7 days as a zecher l'mikdash. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made many takanot for us to remember the Beit HaMikdash. He felt, and perhaps he was right, that Jews would feel lost without a Beit HaMikdash, and the way he compensated was for us in our own cities, in our own hometowns, to somehow engage in practices that had existed in the Beit HaMikdash on a d'oraita level. So he introduced it on a d'rabbanan level to 7 days to commemorate Lulav Shebemikdash. That's very famous, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai making takanot. So the Gemara now says, Kapasik Vatani, the Mishnah makes a blanket statement, Lo Shna B'yantav Rishon, V'lo Shna B'yantav Sheni, that the rule of the Mishnah seems to be categorically applied. A Lulav is Pasul if it is stolen, a Lulav is Pasul if it's dried out. Bishlama Yavesh, I can understand why you will disqualify a lulav if it's dried out all 7 days. I can understand that. Hadar be'inan v'leka. You need a beautiful lulav, and a dried out one is not a beautiful one. Because the Torah uses the expression, ulekachtem lochem pri eitz hadar. So the Gemara interprets the word Hadar, it's not the simple pshat, but the Gemara interprets the pasuk as Hadar, meaning beautiful. What type of an etro, what type of a fruit should you take? A beautiful fruit. And then it applies the word Hadar to all the other three as well. What type of a lulav shall you take? Hadar. So I can understand, says the Gemara, why the Mishnah offers a blanket statement in relationship to Hadar, claiming that a Yavesh, a dried out lulav, is Pasul all 7 days. Now we don't know which 7 days we're talking about. Are we talking about the 7 days in Tinek when the lulav is only Midrabanan? Or are we talking about the 7 days where? In the Beit HaMikdash? Or, I will tell you something else. Shitas HaRambam is that whenever there is a mitzvah to do something in the mikdash, unless it's a korban, that mitzvah applies all of Yerushalayim. All of Yerushalayim. So the Rambam believes that when it says Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivat Yamim, rejoice in the presence of God, and the Yerushalmi says rejoice with the lulav, it means you take your lulav all 7 days, not only in the Beit HaMikdash, but in Yerushalayim as well. All of Yerushalayim. And some people still do that today. Some people will daven in the great synagogue because they want to hear the chazan. And then after that, they'll walk to the Kotel, because the what the Rambam talking about Yerushalayim, he's not talking about Western Jerusalem. He's talking about only the old city, which is surrounded by a wall. So you'll take your lulav and etrog and go into the old city and wave them again, because according to the Rambam, you are fulfilling a biblical commandment all 7 days, not only in the Beit HaMikdash, which we can't enter to, into the Beit HaMikdash. Now, today, if you go on the Har HaBayit, you can fulfill that. But if you don't go on the Har HaBayit, you can do it in Yerushalayim. Another example was where Shabbos, first day of Shabbos comes out on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah comes out on the first day of Shabbos. So the halacha is that you're allowed to blow shofar in the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah. And the Rambam says you're allowed to blow shofar in all of Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. What? And lulav, he says, you take all 7 days. On Shabbos too. Yeah. Do they do that? Some do. I've heard some people do it. Yes? Yes? Yes. He holds that Yerushalayim has Kiddushat Mikdash, because you're allowed to eat certain korbanot only in Yerushalayim. Can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. So the eating of korbanot typically is understood as being in the Mikdash, but since certain korbanot you're allowed to eat all of Yerushalayim, Rambam believes that Yerushalayim enjoys Kiddushat Mikdash. So we're not sure which second day of Yontav we're talking about. Second day of Doraisa or second day of the Rabbana. That's going to be a machlok, because we're showing we're not going to get to that tonight. So says the Gemara, Bishloma Yavesh Hadar Be'inan Veleka. I can understand why you disqualify a dried out lulav all 7 days. Because the requirement to have a beautiful one is not listed before the word by Yom Rishon. The Pasuk writes, Ulekachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon, Pre-Eitz Hadar. So the phrase Pre-Eitz Hadar, Hadar being beautiful, is listed after the word Yom Rishon. Since it is listed after the word Yom Rishon, it is applicable all 7 days of the Chag. So when the Mishnah makes a blanket statement and says that a lulav hayavesh is pasul and doesn't say only pasul the first day, I know why a lulav hayavesh is pasul. Because you need a beautiful etrog and a lulav every day that you take the lulav. So let's assume we're talking about in the Mikdash. You need a beautiful lulav to fulfill the mitzvah in the Mikdash days 2 through 7. But Ella Guzzle, but a stolen lulav, why is it disqualified all 7 days? Bishlama Yom Rishon, Yom Tov Rishon. The first day I understand why a stolen lulav is disqualified. Dichsiv Lochem. The second word of the phrase is Ulekachtem Lochem. How does the Gemara darshan the word lachem? Mishel lachem. It must be what? Yours. Elo b'yom tov sheni amaylo. But on the second days of Yom Tov, days 2 through 7, why can't I steal a lulav and be mekayim the mitzvah? Why not? There is no requirement that it be owned by me. There is none. First day Yom Tov, it says Ulekachtem Lachem Bayom HaRishon. Second day of Yom Tov, it doesn't say Lachem. That's learned out from the last phrase Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivat Yamim. No word Lachem appears in that context. So why can't I fulfill the mitzvah with a stolen lulav days 2 through 7? Why does the Mishnah generate the impression that there is no difference between day one and days two through seven? No difference. A stolen one is disqualified just as a dried out one is disqualified. Why, asks the Gemara? So now the Gemara is going to answer. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name Rabbi Shimon ben Yochi. Next page. And you notice the pages are numbered orderly now. Once the Yanks lost last night, nothing to put Yankee numbers on it. Terrible loss. Mishum Dehevelay. I used to get really upset about these things with the Yankees. I've matured. I've grown up a little. I don't go crazy anymore. Mishum dehevele mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. Because taking a stolen lulav violates the principle of mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. A mitzvah that is fulfilled via violating an aveira. So that's the simple interpretation of the phrase. Mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. That is correct.
But the rest of the days you could take one.
Correct. The Gemara is going to say that black on blue. That you can take a borrowed one days 2 through 7 because there is no requirement of ownership. And borrowing does not violate mitzvah haba b'aveira. That is correct. 100% right. On the first day, you cannot even use a borrowed olive. You have to own it. And there's a whole Gemara which talks about if you have children who are not yet bar mitzvah. A child who is bar mitzvah, who is not yet bar mitzvah, boy or girl, can acquire something midirabbanan, but cannot be matna, cannot give it back to you according to halacha. So if you give it to them before you fulfilled your mitzvah, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah any longer that day with that lulav and esrog because it belongs to Kitty. Yes, question.
Are the concept of mitzvah does that apply to carrying
Excellent question. According to Torah law, if lulav, if the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbat, you take your lulav. And later on in the Gemara we will see, there were time periods in history where everybody took their lulav on the first day. They were just reminded by everybody, don't bring them to shul. Where do you fulfill the mitzvah? In your house. That's all. But then, one of the Amoraic sages, his name is Rabbah, saw that people were just forgetting. They saw, it's first day of Sukkot, I have to go. We're going to say Hallel and Shul. I don't want to be caught without my esrog. And they desecrated the Shabbos. But your question, so that's when they ruled, no more lulav first day of Yontif. But it's a good question. We're going to see on the first day of Shabbos, when it's on Shabbos. We will see something in Tosafot. The Gemara does not, that's all the Gemara says, Mitzvah Babaveh. We now have to read 16 other things to identify precisely when we would apply it. Tosafot is going to say, we don't apply it in your case. Tosafot will say that. We're going to try to see why he says that. Yes? Correct. Very, very. That was very. That was the usual thing in Europe.
So what is that?
So the shul buys, and they instruct everybody. They instruct whoever picks up this lulav. The shul says it's yours completely. When you get it, now you have to give it as a gift to someone else. Here is my lulav and esrog. I bequeath it to you. So it's not shul anymore. You now own it. Then Judy wants to fulfill the mitzvah, you bequeath it to Judy.
So you're allowed to transfer ownership on the spot?
You're not allowed to under normal circumstances, but because of the mitzvah, they suspended the rabbinic prohibition of acquisition.
How does it work with a husband and wife? Do they automatically have joint
ownership? Of course not. There's no such thing as joint ownership for lulav. Joint ownership for everything. But joint ownership for lulav doesn't work. Lachem means it has to be everybody's individually. If I would go with you to buy a lulav, we would share the cost. So we would be partners, right? But neither of us could fulfill the mitzvah. Because lulav requires exclusive ownership.
So if a man buys it himself, he has to give it to his wife.
That's correct. Correct. Yes. No, it's a gift. You don't have to keep it. It's not a gift. You're not selling it. You're not selling it on Yontif. You're giving it as a gift. But you say, you have to say, I give you this as an outright gift.
Then you have to give it back as a gift?
No, the Gemara talks about that's going to be a different subject. Whether matana al minat lahachzir works by lulav. Can I give a gift on condition that you give it back to me? The Gemara actually says yes. Yeah. Of course, hundreds of things, thousands of cases. Yes, mitzvah habav avera applies quite frequently, and we're going
to
see a couple of cases right now.
That you own it. I'm talking about that you
have to own something.
Yes.
No, that's going to be the Ravid's thing. The Ravid will say that mitzvah habav avera only applies when you require individual ownership. But if you don't require ownership, who cares if it's stolen? That's going to be, we're going to see. Don't worry. Don't jump the gun. But it's a good question. That's the right and cheap in the way the Rav interpreted the right.
Is there anything else that you have to have ownership?
Yes.
Okay, was just saying Hanukkah
candles. Hanukkah candles? Who said you have to own the candles?
I had an experience with somebody asked me to give them a few cents the life of Hanukkah candles.
Were you in their house?
Yes.
And that was that's something else.
Oh,
that's too. Okay. The reason for that is because the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah only applies in a house which you own. In a house. If somebody is, God forbid, homeless, there is no mitzvah to light Ner Hanukkah. So what you give a person, the couple of pennies, is that I am paying for your rent during the month of Kislev. So now I'm an owner of this house, so that I'm chayav in the mitzvah of Hanukkah. Yes?
Okay, well, a husband gives his wife the esrog, to make a bracha on first.
Why not? If he gave it to her?
But if she wants to give it back, then she can give it back to him?
She can if she wants to let him use it the next day, and if she doesn't want to, tough.
No, because you mentioned that once it's given to someone.
To a minor, I said. Only to a minor. A minor can't bequeath it back. A minor can only acquire. So once a minor owns it, it's stuck in his or her possession. But an adult can give. Yes.
So if I go out, I go to the store, I buy lulav and etrog for all the children in my house, who are over Gil Mitzvot. Do I have to say to them, I'm giving this
yes,
to you?
Yes, you bought them, they're all yours.
But you have to say it that much.
No, yeah, you have to say it. Here is yours, I am giving you your lulav and etrog.
I have to mark them, I can't mix them up.
That is also true. That is one of the things that happened in the Mishnah talks about that. In the Beit HaMikdash, they used to come by the thousands, and when it was Shabbos, they were told, bring your lulav and etrog on Friday. The next day, everyone said, hey, that's mine. So they made him make an announcement that everybody has to say, whoever picks up my lulav, I'm granting it to you. But that, there was once a whole Taiwan, a whole fire storm. People are killing each other. I paid $100, you paid $12. I'm not taking a $12 escrow. Right. So, good. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the next two lines of the Gemara just tell us the source of this halakha. How do I know that you cannot fulfill a mitzvah if the item was stolen? How do I know that halakha? It doesn't say it black and blue in the Torah. It doesn't say such a thing in the Torah. So how do I know that it's true? So answers the Gemara, Shine Emah. They cite a pasuk in Malachi. It's the Haftarah of Parshat Toldot, where the Navi, Malachi, ridicules Am Yisrael for bringing inferior korbanot. What did he say? Vahaveitem gazul, you're going to bring a stolen korban, ve'et hapiseyach. There's only one good translation of Pesach, that's the Yiddish. Ahinkadike. What does that mean? It's limping. A lame animal. Ve'et hacholeh. A sick animal. Those are your offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Malachi. That's what you're bringing. That's what you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs your presence, that you're going to bring only your junk, the lame, the stolen, or the sickly animal. So if a korban is lame, tell me its status. Are you allowed to bring a lame animal as a korban? What is it called? It has a baal mum. It has a mum as a physical defect. So the Gemara now compares. Just as a piseya, ahinkadika, is pasul for the mizbeah, so too is gazul disqualified for the mizbeah. So we learn the source from a korban. That's going to be very significant for us down the road. But we learn from a korban. Just as a korban could never be offered on the mizbeach if the animal was a baal mum, had a physical defect and was lame and limping, so too, if it is gazul, it is not to be offered on the mizbeach. So the Gemara extrapolates from here, why shouldn't it be brought on the Mizbeah? Because it's mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. It is a mitzvah which is being facilitated by an aveira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need such things. Yes?
But in both these cases, you had to own it. In other words, when you steal something, you don't really own it. You don't
Who
really
said
ownership.
So?
when you steal something?
Oh, you own it plenty.
Really?
Of course, we're going to see.
Because it's in your hand.
That's correct. There might be, I'll tell you, that's the next couple of lines of Gemara. I wasn't planning on handling it, but you mentioned it. Did you ever hear of the word Yeush?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does Yeush mean?
Give
up hope. Either if you lose something, but there's also Yeush by Geneva. If something is stolen from me, you know, do I ever think I'm going to get? I'm sure, unfortunately, some of us will rob. Do you ever have any hope with me? Call the police, but the police, you can't do anything with that. Not going to get it back. So once you declare that I have no expectation of getting it back, the ganav owns that what he stole, or she stole. And now, what does that mean? That from here on in, if they want to do tshuva, normally the Torah says, what are you supposed to do when you want to do tshuva on gzeila? Veheshiv et hagzeila. You return the item that you stole. But after Yeush, you don't have to return the item that you stole. You can pay the value.
How do you know?
You can pay the value. You can pay the value. If the two Adim say, I heard he was Miyayish.
You can, so if you steal a very famous painting and the owner is Miyayish, halakhically, it's not the best thing in the world, but halakhically, you have a right to keep it. That's what the Gemara says. It's not going to, a korban has to be owned by you as well. You can't deliver some, you require ownership. So why is the korban possible? That's what the Gemara says. If you had Yeush after you stole it, you are the owner of that animal. So you can't, because it's a mitzvah
about it. I was thinking both the lulav and carbon are two examples as to where you have to own it.
Correct.
So when you steal, if you don't own it, that would be why it would be, and it wouldn't be.
Correct.
Broad,
that's
broader
according
thing
to
that
that's means. According to one authority. Yeah. Some apply it even if you don't require ownership. You know what else requires ownership? It's a whole discussion, not right. Matzah. Believe it or not, we compare the 15th of the month of Tishrei to the 15th of the month of Nisan in many areas of halacha. The one that's most related to us, unless you are Sephardic, most related to us is that if it's pouring cats and dogs on the first night of Sukkot, you have to go in, make kiddush, wash, eat a kizayis of bread, and then go in and eat the rest of the meal. Sfarim don't have to worry about that. Because they say the first night is not any different than the second night. If it's raining, you don't have to go into the Seder. But where did we get that from? We compared it to Pesach. For the Seder night, the first night, you have to eat a kizayis of matzah. The second night, you don't have to eat any days of Yom. You don't have to eat matzah. Just now that you're chametz. But you don't have to eat matzah. Same thing with Sukkot. You don't have to eat anything all week of Sukkot that obligates you to eat the Sukkot. You can eat fruits, vegetables, meat, fish, and you never have to step foot into the Sukkah. You'll violate nothing by eating out of the Sukkah. But if you eat grain, any grain component, you have to eat the Sukkah. But the first night, that option is not yours. So just as we compare the 15th of Tishrei to the 15th of Nisan, some say that we compare it in terms of ownership. Just as the Sukkah and Lulav has to be yours, even though not everyone agrees it has to be yours. That's a different issue. But Lulav, for sure, has to be yours. So we compare the matzah has to be yours as well. Did you ever hear anybody at a Seder who invited somebody,
no.
Hey, pick up this matzah? So there is a famous Taz, and the Taz says, since it happens to be eaten, the owner never expects it back. When you lend something to someone else, you expect it back. I'm lending it to you to do something for your use, but then when you give matzah, you know you're not going to get it back. So it's implied that what? That you were makir, you granted this. It's all discussion, not for that. But anyhow, this is the source of mitzvah haba'ah ba'aveira. This is the source of mitzvah haba'ah ba'aveira. Korban is the source for all of them itself. Because the Gemara is applying it to Lulav. And there's going to be somebody who says, if you compare it to Korban, it has to have features of a Korban. I'll get to that a little. Esther Rizvashi. I told you, I'm going to be on this subject. I'm going to show you how rich
one sugya, three words, mitzvah baba vera can be, in Gemara and Rishonim language. Yes?
I think you know what you said before, that you said if somebody is miyaesh,
then if someone steals some and the owner is miyaesh,
how would anybody know that? I didn't hear the answer to that.
Judy, the answer is two witnesses heard you.
Oh, two witnesses.
That's all you, because everything's going to wind up in court. Two witnesses heard, said, oh, hey, I'm never getting back this. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure, you know, and that's true. Whenever you rob in the house, you never have any expectation. That's why I sent out this email about the cars, because the Teaneck police chief called me and he said there's been a rash of car theft in Teaneck. That's what he told me. Because a lot of people just leave their cars open, the doors open, they pick the hood open, they know how to put the two wires together, they start it, and they're off. That's it. You'll never get it back. They'll sell it for parts. So they said, even if you're on your own driveway, park, lock the car and don't leave the keys inside. So and once you have a car is stolen, you are miyaesh. So the Goslin, he owns that car now. He owns that car. Good. I want to approach a Tosafot. Okay. Go back to the Mishnah for a second. See, I lied to you. So we're not going to look at the rest of the Mishnah, but we will look at two more words. Says the Mishnah. Shel Ashera. Stop right there. A lulav of Asherah. Asherah, anybody remember Asherehem Tisufunbe? It is what? Okay. A tree that has been designated as Avodah Zarah. It's a deity. And people bow down to this tree, or they hug the tree, or do anything else. Good. So if I take a palm tree that has been used for Avodah Zarah, and I rip off the lulav from it, the Mishnah says it's pasul. It's the swallow. It's the swallow. Now I'm going to tell you why the Gemara disqualifies it, and then I'm going to ask you to ask the question. The Gemara says that the reason why it's disqualified is as follows. The Torah states explicitly what are you supposed to do with Asherah trees? They have to be burned. It says, Va'asherehem tisrifun ba'esh. That's what the Torah says. No ifs, buts, whys. It can't be repaired. It has to be burnt down. Good. There is a principle, and I'm not going to take questions about that principle, but there is a principle, because it happens to have a lot of applications, that anything that is halakhically supposed to be burned, we consider it as if it's burned even before you burn it. The halakhic status of something that is suspect, that is omeid l'sreifa, something that deserves to be burned, is halakhically treated as if it's burned before you even burn it. There are a handful of such principles about in various areas of halakha. So now, I'm going to ask you to finish the thing. How tall does a lulav have to be? Yeah. How tall do you think a lulav has to be? It has to be four hand breadths. Four tefachim. We will see it at the end of the mission. A hand breadth. This is a hand breadth. Four tefachim. That's it. Very nice. Well, if halakhically it's been burnt already, is the lulav four tefachim high? No. So the Gemara says, you know why a lulav shel asherah is pasul? Because it's supposed to be burnt. And if it's supposed to be burnt, its shi'ur doesn't exist. And if it doesn't have four tefachim, it's automatically pasul.
It's not the shi'ur, it just doesn't exist.
That's it. It's not, so what's lacking is, that's good. That's what the Gemara says. Now I'm waiting for your question. Ask a question. Ask Tosafot's question. One.
What about like a korban? Before you say like, you know, if it's going to be burned, it's like it's already.
Right. it's going to be burnt only as a way of punishment or getting rid of it. A korban, it's an excellent question. That's not Tosfos's question. Ask a question. We just learned for a half hour about a halacha. Exactly. Who needs this wild answer? Oh, it's supposed to be burnt. And we treat it as if it is burnt. Then it's less than four tefachim. Why don't you just disqualify? Because it's a mitzvah above my veil.
Because you're not the one who
did it. Ah, so now Tosfos is going to answer. First, Tosfos asks, what happens if you were? Tosfos asks the question. So look at the Tosafot on the left hand side on page number 4, on page number 2. Look at Tosfos on page number 2 on the left hand side. It's a little, it says, Mishum Devil Mitzvah Babaveira. I want you to look about 8 lines into it. There's a little star next to the word Ve'im Tomar. Does everybody have it? Ve'im Tomar. Here, right over here. Ve'im Tomar. There it is. Ve'im Tomar. Does everybody have it? Do you have? Yeah. Do you see where the parentheses where it says Daflam and Aleph Amud Bet? A line above that at the end of the line. Does everybody see it? Good. Ve'im Tomar, if will they frag in Akasha? Ve'im Tomar, if will they frag in Akasha? That one will be Yiddish. Likaman, later on, depaslinan lulav shel asherah. We disqualify a lulav which was taken from an asherah tree. Vishel ir hanidachat. Also a lulav taken from a city called Ir Hanidachat. And Ir Hanidachat is a city in which the majority of the inhabitants worshipped Avodah Zarah. The Torah describes terrible things that are to happen to that city. Every single citizen, male, woman, and child, have to be killed by the sword. Killed. And the entire city has to be burnt down. You are not permitted to rebuild that city whatsoever. Ever. So here, a majority of the city worshipped Avodah Zarah. But before they burnt it, I took my lulav and esrog. That's it. Quickly. So the Mishnah says, after the two words, the next two words, you can't use a lulav and ir hanidachas either. Mishum demichtas she'urei. Because its she'ur is cut off. There's no she'ur any longer. Why is the she'ur cut off? Because it says, if it had already been burned. Asks Tosafot. Tepukle, let's learn it out. What do you need this convoluted reason? Tepukle, let us learn it out. Mishum mitzvah habava aveira. Let's disqualify it. Because an aveira had been done with this lulav. It was worshipped directly or it was part of the city. Just disqualify mitzvah habava aveira. Then Tosfos asks something else. I don't want to get sidetracked. Go to the next line where it says the Vav Yud Lamed. Vav Yud Lamed is a contraction which Tosfos uses 18,000 times. The Yesh Lomar. We can suggest. This is Tosfos's answer. The Yesh Lomar. Dilo Domi Legezel. Asherah can't be compared to theft. You can't compare an Asherah tree lulav to a stolen lulav. The machmat averat hagezel ba'a hamitzvah sheyotzeva. How did you get hold of this lulav? In theft, how? By stolen, by stealing. If I didn't steal it, what would happen? I wouldn't have a lulav. Avol hani, but Asherah, atu machmas avera shenaase bo, me nafik ben? Do I fulfill my mitzvah because this tree was an Asherah tree? No. The fact that an Avera was done with this tree has nothing to do with my taking the lulav. It was an external problem. And we don't apply the principle of mitzvah habah ba'avera when the Avera does not necessarily facilitate the performance of the mitzvah. The fact that I worship the Avodah Zarah or anybody else worship this tree, that doesn't facilitate my mitzvah lulav. Whereas the Avera of Gezel, that does facilitate the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Had I not stolen the lulav, I wouldn't have had it. But if had I not worshipped for Avodah Zarah, I still would have had it. The Avodah Zarah component is not directly, integrally related to what? To the performance of the mitzvah. And the only time that mitzvah habav avera applies is if the avera facilitates the performance of the mitzvah. Yes.
So, but doesn't the carbon that you bring as lame or does that have the same issue?
That's not mitzvah habav avera. The carbon that's lame is pasul because it's a mum.
Right.
That is nothing. That the Torah writes is disqualified, not because it's stolen. A lame korban that you own can't be brought because the Torah says so. You can't bring a balamun.
That does not fall under the category of
mitzvah. No, absolutely not. It does not. Yes.
So what if he steals from the little metal, and then so now he owns them.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy's given out. Now that he sells them to me.
Good. So that's going to be another application. What happens if the Ganav sells it to somebody else? We'll talk about it. But what principle is established here? What principle is established? Your principle. What's the principle? We don't apply mitzvah habah b'aveira every single time that the item of a mitzvah happened to have casually been involved in an aveira. We don't. When do we apply the principle of mitzvah habah b'aveira? If the aveira facilitates the mitzvah. So by gezel, it's everybody can understand why gezel it works. I'm going to have to give you other cases where it will work as well. We'll see in a second. Tosis is going to ask a question on his own answer. Yes.
Well, I thought this is a different part of it. A shaver of the tree, or let's say that's like Yayin Nesach. Can't use something that was used for idolatry for a mitzvah, but yet, like let's say with there's a church and you turn it into a big Knesset, that you're allowed to do that, whereas you're not allowed to do the opposite. So what's the idea of taking something that maybe was used bad and then making it?
Okay, that's an opportunity. There is a way to do that. If okay, this has something to do with
it. Doesn't say
but
we're true just to the
ground. No, that's you're right.
No, but my point is.
But here is the difference. If Jews worship in that church. Jews worship in that church. As a church, it can never be made into a Beit Knesset. A church or Avodah Zarah of a Jew can never, ever be released from the prohibition.
Okay.
But if a Gentile worshipped it, I can terminate its status of Avodah Zarah. How? By declaring, I am never planning to use this again as Avodah Zarah. That's called bitul. I am mevatel the Avodah, and I change, make a physical change to it. If I make a physical change, they're allowed. So most churches in Brownsville and all over those places, Lower East Side, were not frequented by Jews who were out there Avodah Zarah. Right? Very few.
Okay, churches.
The opposite, exactly. Too many shuls became churches afterwards.
Right.
But there were some churches that became shuls. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. But if no Jews out there prayed there, I should say, prayed there, then we're allowed to terminate its sanctification for church and make it into a shul. Because an avodah zarah of a Gentile, we can be mevateh. And our desire of a Jew is more severe and it can never be terminated. So let's read the answer again. V'yesh loimar. D'lo dami legezel. Ashera is not to be compared to gezel. The machmat aveirat
hagezel, on account of the transgression of theft, ba'a hamitzvah sheyotzei bo. The mitzvah came and enabled, the avera came and enabled this person to fulfill the mitzvah. Avahani, Ashera and Irani Dachas, Atu, Machmas, Avera, Shena, Sebo, Mi Nafik? Is it on account of the fact that somebody worshipped this as Avodah Zarah? Does that directly promote me to fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav? Of course not. That's an extraneous thing. Since the Avera is not directly involved in the performance of the mitzvah, the category of mitzvah haba b'aveira does not apply. Does not apply. However, Tosfot is going to ask a question on himself from a different case. I want you to go now to five lines from the bottom of the Tosfos. It says Psachim daf lamed hayom with bet in parentheses. Yeah, you see that? Five lines from the bottom. Psachim. So Tosfos is going to quote Mihu Tamar. I have a question on what I just said myself. The Perek Kol Sha'ar, the second Perek of Masechet Psachim. The Sanya, we learned in a bright. Ein Yotzei Yidei Matzah B'tevel. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with matzah that is tevel. What is tevel, Rabotai? I'm sure you've heard of it. What? No trumot in Masrot were taken from the grain. So I went to the farmer and I reaped some grain. I dried it out like I'm supposed to. I converted it into flour. I baked my matzah. So this is matzah shel tevel. Says the Gemara, if you eat matzah shel tevel, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah Pesach at night. That's what the Gemara says. You do not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah by eating matzah shel tevel. Asks the Gemara, why aren't you fulfilling the mitzvah with tevel? And what answer does the Gemara give? Mitzvah haba b'aveira. So Tosfos thinks that's a question on himself. Tell me why. Why is it a question on himself?
The fact that it was tevel is not what facilitated.
Of course.
Exactly.
Tevel is a separate aveira. Because I failed to give Trumot and Masrot, that's not the reason why I have the grain. I have the grain because I bought it from the farmer. It's just that I did another Avera. So why would the Gemara disqualify my mitzvah of eating matzah if the matzah had been Shel Tevel? Because it is mitzvah haba b'aveira. Tosfos is asking a question on himself. I, Tosfos, just said that if the Aveira does not facilitate the mitzvah, under those circumstances, we don't apply mitzvah haba b'aveira. In the case of Tevel, I don't believe that the Aveira of Tevel facilitates the mitzvah of eating matzah. We should not apply mitzvah haba b'aveira. Yes?
But you know, you never know. The specific matzah that you're eating, maybe the grain that matzah, that's the grain that should have been given away.
But that's not the case. Any grain could have been given away.
But
doesn't have to be that grain.
But I mean, you ended up with more matzah than you should have.
Okay, so that I'm eating a kalamun. You know, how do I know I'm eating that matzah on Pesach?
You don't know the amount.
But we can't say that it facilitates. Yes.
Tevel, you're not the one that's obligated to give the...
Yes, you are.
In other words,
if the farmer doesn't, you have to. Yes, 100%. Same thing if we buy fruits and something from Eretz Yisrael, they weren't mufrash. And this is one of the big problems of the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut used to be mafrish all exports. And then for some reason they got lazy and they don't want to do it anymore. and that they're machshil, I really believe they're machshil, you know, thousands of people who don't know or don't care or don't think that it was not mufrash. I know, you know it's from Israel, but you thought, oh, of course they took away from Israel. I know, but it's... I know, 100%. So anyhow, that's Tosfot's question. So some claim that Tosfos is actually identifying a different principle than he just said. I'm going to add a 1A, says Tosfos, by asking this question. In all of the other cases that we've seen about mitzvah habab aveira, has the aveira and the mitzvah taken place simultaneously? No. That's correct. No. You steal, when do you steal it? Erev Yontif. Or any time. Or even if you steal it on Yom. It's not when you fulfill the mitzvah by stealing. A korban, it was a stolen korban. Correct. And the asherah, in which Tosfos thought would apply. First you worshipped the Avodah Zarah, then came the Yontif of Sukkos, and you took the lulav. But it's not simultaneous.
It's
terrible
at the same time.
Ah! So Tosfos said is adding another caveat. In the case of Tevel, how do you violate the prohibition of Tevel? How? You eat it. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? By eating it. So at the same time that you are violating an aveira, to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm also fulfilling a mitzvah at this very moment, that is a violation of mitzvah habab aveira, even if the aveira had not really facilitated the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Tosfos, by asking this question and not answering it, in effect is saying to me, he's not recanting, he says there's a question, you know what, throw out my first answer. He didn't say that. He just asked a question, and he's begging us to help interpret him, which we are now, and saying there is an auxiliary principle. Principle major number one, capital A, is what? When the mitzvah is facilitated by the aveira. If it is not facilitated by aveira, under those circumstances, no disqualification. That answers, that's why the Gemara needed this other thing by Asherah, that it is supposed to be burned, and it's supposed to be burned, it doesn't exist. That's why those things are needed. But if Tevel, the Ma'aseh HaMitzvah, and the Ma'aseh Avera are done at the exact same set. You put a Kezias of Matzah in your mouth, at the same time you put a Kezias of Tevel in your mouth. You swallow the Tevel, you swallow the matzah, mitzvah's matzah. So to fulfill a mitzvah in the same ma'aseh as the violation of an aveira, that says to Tosfos, that's a mitzvah habab aveira, and I don't care if the aveira did not facilitate the fulfillment of the mitzvah in that case. Yes?
Is tevel different?
No, it's a good question. But because tevel is an avera of omission, not commission. But it's a good suggestion. But I have not seen anybody. Yes.
What about giving tzedakah and stolen money?
Okay. Okay. So are you allowed to give the mitzvah of tzedakah with stolen money? So, well, we'll see. Well, it's an excellent question.
Is that an example of this principle?
Well, it depends. If we wanted to say that facilitating is a definition, so this facilitates. Why did I steal it? Because I don't have it myself. So I'm stealing the money. Of course it would be a mitzvah habab aveira, and you do not get credit for the mitzvah. Whenever we have mitzvah habab aveira, the aveira not only is an aveira, but it cancels out the performance of the mitzvah. You don't get credit in your record book. So stealing money to give to charity is undoubtedly prohibited, and you don't fulfill the mitzvah. That's correct. That's correct.
Why isn't Tevel fulfilled at Tam Kinyan?
What was that?
Why isn't Tevel
if you're acquiring the tevel, why is it being fulfilled in time of the union, not in time of the?
Because that's the way the Torah writes. The isur is to eat grain and fruits from which you have not given the tithes. That's the way the Torah says. Because until you eat it, you can always be mafresh it.
So you can own it and not give Trumot Maaser if you don't eat it.
You're not supposed to. No, you're supposed to give Trumot Maaser as soon as you owned it.
Right.
But you don't violate the prohibition unless you eat it. If you have it and you don't eat it, you still enjoy the possibility of what? Fulfilling the mitzvah. There are certain mitzvot which you're not allowed to do, but you still have an opportunity to do it. The most famous is Brit Milah. A Brit Milah for a child is supposed to be done by the parents. If the parents don't do it, when the kid's 13, the mitzvah switches to him. He has to do it. And what's the penalty for not having Brit Milah? Karet. But the karet doesn't apply until you die. Because until you die, you can still do the mitzvah. So it's a funny type of an aveira. It's funny. I always have an opportunity to do a bris milah.
Karet if they don't do it for their child?
No, there is no karet if you don't do it for your child. The karetut punishment is only on the child himself. And here I have to say himself. I can't be anti politically correct. Not him. Yes.
So in the tarot and matzah, in a sense, it is facilitating. In a sense, it is facilitating.
Why is that?
Because the eating is the Avera, and the eating is the mitzvah.
But the Avera didn't cause you to fulfill the mitzvah. Because I wasn't mafresh truma suman.
Caused me to...
You're stealing it here. If I wouldn't have stolen it, I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I didn't have it.
Right, but if you hadn't eaten, then you wouldn't have eaten. I mean, it's causing
the internet. Okay. But that's Tosafot.
Exactly.